الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الدين عند الله الإسلام. وقال الله تبارك وتعالى: والذين آمنوا أشد حبا لله. وعن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: من أحب لله وأبغض لله وأعطى لله ومنع لله فقد استكمل الإيمان، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Honorable المشايخ، respected elders، علماء الكرام، brothers and friends. Indeed, it is only the fazl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are so fortunate that we have such majalis, such gathering, wherein there is so much to learn from and so much wherein we can reform our normal daily lives with. May Allah ta'ala make it a means of hidayat in ourselves, correcting our lives on a daily basis, and make it a part of our daily routine, that all these things that we learn from here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us to practice upon, inshallah. We very well know that every organization, every institute, every movement have some manifest signs of identifying themselves, either by uniform, either by emblem, either by different aspects. Somebody have stickers, somebody have what, somebody have what. Somebody's mannerism, through which we can identify that this person is linked to this organization, or is linked to that group, or is linked to that particular institute, etc. Regarding those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ, that amongst, or rather the people who are of iman, are the ones who are most very intense in their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means they really love Allah a lot. But naturally, to know who they are, and what are the signs of these people that are so intense in their love for Allah? Ulama have mentioned certain very important factors whereby you can identify and you can see that truly this man is in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This man has Allah in front of him. From those different aspects or those different identification signs, ulama have mentioned seven important aspects, which if found in a person's life, it will stand evidence to fact that this man has the true love of Allah and is intense in his love for Allah. And we know very well that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that in kuntum tuhibbun Allah, that say to the people that if you really love Allah, fattabi'uni, follow my way of life, then your true love will become evident. So amongst those signs, the ulama have written, the first is a person who really is in love with Allah or has the love of Allah in him, he is not fearing, or he is not afraid of death. He is not afraid of death. Death to him is a great ni'mat, is a great bounty. In fact, he waits for death. He doesn't desire death, but he waits for that moment. When death comes, he knows now he is going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is mentioned regarding Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed the angel of death that go to Ibrahim alayhi salam, and as is the custom of Allah that every Nabi before his ruh is taken, permission is taken from him. Ask permission and take permission for his ruh to be taken out. So the angel of death comes to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and he seeks permission that I am sent to come and take your ruh. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam says, Hal ra'aita khalilan yakbidu ruha khalili? That where did you see a friend has the soul of his friend removed? So the angel of death then goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and says, this is the question Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam asked. So Allah ta'ala says, go say to Ibrahim, Hal ra'aita khalilan yakra'u liqa'a khalili? Then go back to my friend and ask him, did you ever see a friend who does hesitate in meeting his friend, who does not love to meet his friend? When Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was said and told that was told to him, he said, Ajil, Ajil, make quick. Take me to Allah. I need to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Man ahabba liqa Allah, ahabba Allahu liqa'ahu. Wan man kariha liqa Allah, kariha Allahu liqa'ahu. Or kama qala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam. That person who desires to meet Allah, Allah desires to meet him also. And that person who does not desire to meet Allah, Allah doesn't even desire to meet him as well. So the reality of it is, those that truly love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their whole motive, their mission, their desire is, they desire death. That means this world is not insignificant to them. They don't fear death in any way. Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when it was his moment of leaving this world, he was extremely happy. So somebody asked him that now you are going to be going and you are so happy. He said, Ghadan nalqal Muhammada wa ashabi, that I will be very soon meeting Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. He knew already his direction, where he is supposed to be going. And he was waiting for that moment. So really, those who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the signs is they don't ever fear death. And when a person doesn't fear death, then for him to do anything to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not difficult. Even if it means it's going to cost him his life. In fact, one Urdu poet says it very nicely. He said, Maut ko samjhe tu is nada ikhtitame zindagi. He said, oh, you innocent, you regard maut as the end of your life. He said, yeh to haqeeqat mein hai, subhi zindagi, dawame zindagi. This is in reality is the dawn of your life. This is the real living of life. After death, this is true life. So reality is, a person who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he doesn't fear death. A person who loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doesn't fear death in any way. In fact, when the angel of mort and death comes, he is welcome. He was waiting for that moment. And there are many, many incidences narrated in kitabs where those true lovers of Allah, when the angel of death comes to them, and how they embrace death. The second last sign of those who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is this world is a very dull place for them. That means the glitter, the glamour, everything that seems so beautiful doesn't appeal to them in any way. You can bring to them the best of the best, end of the day, ye fani hai, ye dunya hai. It's got to come to an end. At-tajafi and darul ghurur. They heart is basically totally disalienated, that it's totally disassociated with this world and whatever it is. You can bring to him one of the best cars, best jets, most expensive houses. The reality of it is he understands that, you know what, this is just a deception. I don't have guarantee that I will even use it. I don't even have guarantee that I will be in here. It is going to be finished one of these days. And today's trends have become such that a person goes, for example, he builds a house, builds a beautiful house, and he goes out and he puts the best furnishings inside, the best tiles, the best cupboards, the best kitchen, whatever, ever, ever. After 6 months, it's old. Because tomorrow is something new again. So in reality, this is ghurur, it is dhoka. So those that really have the true love of Allah, they do not become victims of the deception of this world. This world remains dull to them. For them, whether you give them a jalopy to drive or you give him a Ferrari to drive, it means the same thing. It doesn't increase his status, it doesn't make him feel any different. Because he knows the purpose of this car is for me to get from point A to B. It is not a matter of in what I go, it's how I go, how I get to where I need to get to. So for him, the life of this dunya is just a means of passing through so that I can get to my Allah. And that's why their heart, this dunya is very dull to them. With the result, everything for which people die means nothing to them. They don't have to fight with people. They don't have to compete in anything. Because it is of no use. So this is the second sign of those who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this world is a dull. It is very dull for them. Everything of this world is very dull for them. The third sign of those who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is whatever has nisbat with Allah, whatever has a link with Allah, they have intense love for that as well. And the greatest link with Allah in this whole creation is the link of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no greater link besides Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam with Allah than anything else. In reality, those that love Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it is an open sign that this person is in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One poet said it very nicely. He said, Ajab cheez hai, Ajab cheez hai ishq-e shah-e Madina. Ajab cheez hai ishq-e shah-e Madina. Yahi to ishq-e haqiqi hai jina. He said, the love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is such an amazing thing. And that is actually the love that you need to love for. That is actually the love that you need to love for. Hey Ma'amur is ishq se jiska seena, usi ka marna marna hai, usi ka jina jina hai. He says, whoever's heart is filled with that love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his life is worth living and his death is worth dying. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the strongest link to Allah. And his love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shows that he is in love with Allah. Also one other Urdu poet says it very nicely. He said, to his, wahi samjha jayega, shedai Mustafa, jiska hale hale Mustafa, or jiska khal hai khal Mustafa. You see, that person will be regarded as the true lover of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whose condition and way of life is like the condition and way of life like Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And his words are like the words of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what he says is like what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says. So that man is truly in love with Allah. Everything that has nisbat with Allah. The second important thing that a person can understand that has nisbat with Allah is the Baytullah. And it is a sign of those that go for Umrah, for Hajj. When you come back, your heart desires, you want to go back again, you want to go back again, you want to go back again. Why? Because it is a sign of your love for Allah that wants to take you back every time. Another important sign is the Kalam of Allah. A person is in the habit of reading Kalam of Allah. Every time, every moment he finds free, is reciting the Quran, is reciting the Quran. Because he understands this is the Kalam of my Rabb. And he is all the time wanting to be close to Allah. So the closest he can be is to recite the Quran. And not only that, another important sign it is that he loves Allah, that he even has love for the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For those that are close to Allah. And that is why Nabi Kareem s.a.w. taught us the dua, Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbak, wa hubba man yuhibbuk, wa hubba amali yuballighuna aw yuqarribuna ila hubbik. That, oh Allah, I ask you of your love. And I ask you of the love of those who love you. That means, those who are close to you. Of those who are close to you, I ask you for their love. Because if I love them, through them I will begin to start, I will learn how to love you. Through them I will learn how to love you. And this is the reality of it. Ulama have written that when a person looks at a wali of Allah with a nazar of muhabbat, with a look of muhabbat, and he admires him that, look, this is the wali of Allah. And he feels nice, he feels happy about it. This is the barakat of it is such that through that one gaze of muhabbat as a wali of Allah, Allah forgives all his sins. So this is the awliya, muhabbat of the awliya Allah. It is also a sign of a person who is in love with Allah. Then the next sign ulama writes is that a person who is in the habit of making tahajjud. Is the person who is in the habit of making tahajjud. That time of tahajjud is a very special moment. Our Shaykh has mentioned yesterday in ulama bayan that Shaykh Junaid Baghdadi rahimahullah, after his demise, when he was seen in a dream and asked him, how did you fare? So, everything else that was there, kashf karamat and wilayat, everything, Allah did not look, it was worth what it was worth. But Allah did not look at that. That four rakats of tahajjud, that four rakats of nafal, was what was his savior. Allah looked at that, and through that, Allah Ta'ala make his maghfirah. So it is that moment, Imam Razi says, wo din acha nahi lagta, jahan teri yaad nahi ho, aur wo raat thi achi nahi lagti, jis raat mein tere saath raaz aur niyaz na ho. That, oh Allah, that day I don't feel like loving that day wherein I don't remember you. And then I don't feel nice to pass a night wherein I cannot talk with you, I cannot open my heart towards you. So a person who is in love with Allah is a person who is in the habit of making tahajjud. He makes an effort to make tahajjud. Ulama have even written that sometimes because the way our day passed, and at night we go to sleep and we make intention that, you know, I'm going to get up for tahajjud. But because we have passed our day in such fast circumstances, and then the time of tahajjud comes, even your eyes open, then Allah Ta'ala tells the angels, put him to sleep. He doesn't deserve to stand in front of me. Because the manner in which he passed his day. And sometimes a person passes his day in trying to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter how tired he is, how exhausted he may feel. But Allah Ta'ala at the time of tahajjud tells the angels, get him up. It's time for him to come to me now. It's time for him to meet me. We need to talk now. So that is a sign of a person who is in love with Allah. That tahajjud becomes very easy for him. And then the next sign ulama writes is ibadat becomes very asan for him, becomes very easy for him. To make his faraid is compulsory, he knows. But for him to indulge in nawafil, to make other ibadah, to make his Quran, to make his tilawat, to complete his askar, it becomes easy for him. It is not difficult for him at all. In fact, it is like food for his soul, food for himself. Sayyidina Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, and our great, great pious predecessors of deen, if we look into their lives, It is unimaginable. We cannot even fathom. He used to make 63 khatams in the month of Ramadan. Now, during the day, one during the night, one tahajjud time, one... You know, it is something we cannot even understand. Can people accomplish that? And if we go through the books, our pious predecessors, their ibadat is of such nature. And we wonder, how could they make so much ibadat? But it became part of their nature. It becomes so easy for them. Because they used to love Allah so much. Their love for Allah was so intense that making ibadat was so easy for them. Not making ibadat was like a fish out of water. That was difficult for them. So a person who is truly loves Allah, is for him Allah makes to make ibadat very easy also. And then the next time is no matter where a person is, every moment he is engrossed in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Har waqt Allah ki yaad mein laga rehta hai. Whether he is in his business, whether he is with his family, whether he is with his friends, no matter where he's sitting, where he's going, but in his heart of heart, in his mind, Allah, Allah, Allah is there, everything. He sees Allah, he talks Allah, he hears Allah, he walks towards Allah, he feels Allah. Allah is part of his life. There is no moment that goes wherein he is not engrossed in the remembrance of Allah. Many a times we find a lot of our very, very pious mashayikh, if we look at their lives, we don't really see anything apparent where they're making so much ibadat. But yes, one condition is all the time on them, is their heart is all the time in the remembrance of Allah. And that keeps them so close to Allah. So a person that is in the love of Allah, all the time he is in the remembrance of Allah. And then another important thing, a sign, the seventh sign, that person who is in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for him, those that are disobedient to Allah, he doesn't want to associate. Their company is not acceptable to him. And those that are obedient to Allah, he looks for their company. He feels contented with their company. He wants to be with them all the time. Man ahabba lillah. That person, when he hears something, he loves people for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he does any dealing with a person, he does it because he has love for Allah. If he has any contact with a person, you know, like we say, haru rakhanu, come out here. You know, we must keep good. Somewhere it will come in. It will come in our way. It will help us. But no. Their haru rakhanu is what? Allah khushtai. Their haru rakhanu is Allah will become happy. You understand? So that person, he keeps relation with those who are the lovers of Allah, who are obedient to Allah. وَمَنْ أَبْغَضَ لِلَّهِ. And a person, if he begrudges somebody, it's not because of his own whims, his own fancies, his own desires, or something didn't go his way. If he begrudges somebody, he begrudges somebody because of Allah. Because Allah is not happy with this, and he doesn't feel comfortable, that's why he feels he cannot associate with that person. So he begrudges somebody because of Allah. When he gives something, he gives it for the sake of Allah. Today we find many a times, you see, you know, I did so much for that person, not even a thank you. But that person never looks for a thank you. Because whatever he has given to Allah. Irrespective of how he has given it, who has given it. And sometimes if he does refuse somebody something, he refuses it because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنَعَ لِلَّهِ. And a person, even sometimes your own children come to you, and they ask you for something, and then refuse them. Not because you don't love them, but you know if you're going to give him this, he's going to maybe do something wrong with him. And you refuse him. Your refusal is because of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That person who loves for the sake of Allah, who begrudges and hates for the sake of Allah, who gives for the sake of Allah, and who refuses to give for the sake of Allah, فَقَدْ اِسْتَكْمَلَ الْإِيمَانِ. His iman is complete. And we have to always understand one very important aspect in life. That no matter what ibadat we do, how much knowledge we have, how much marifat we have, but we are never safe. We are never safe from the tricks of shaitan. A person who can make ibadat for years on years, for shaitan to come and deceive him, is much more easier than to deceive a knowledgeable person, an alim. I've heard from my elders that on one occasion, Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani rahimahullah was traveling with his few people. And as they were moving, a huge figure comes into the skies. And a very loud and thunderous voice says to him, "O Abdul Qadir Jilani, because of your high status and your piety and where you have reached today, from today namaz is maaf on you." So for a moment he sat down and he thought. He says, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was so much more higher than me. He was the Rasul of Allah. Namaz wasn't made for him. So many ayahs, sahaba, namaz wasn't made for them. Who am I? He said, this is shaitan. And what happened? He carried on. On his return, the same figure came. And he said, "O Abdul Qadir Jilani, I have deceived 30 such abideen like you. And I have put them into Jahannam. But because you are an alim, I could not put you in Jahannam." So, a person is never safe from the tricks of shaitan. Ulama have written that once an alim came into the khidmat of one of our mashayikh for islah. And the sheikh knew also very well that this is a alim of high standing. And he told him, you're welcome to stay with me, but your field is different. And our riyadat, our mehnat, and our effort is different. You may not be able to go through the routine we go through. So it's better you carry on making your khidmat in the manner in which you were making. So he said, "No, I'm begging you, let me be in your company. The day I feel I cannot handle it anymore, then I'll take permission and I'll leave." So when he stayed in the company of this great Buzurg Sheikh, he realized that all the time is ibadat, riyadat, mehnat. And after a few days, he felt the program was too heavy for him. So with great adab, he took permission and he left. He says, not long after, the same alim was on the throes of death. And shaitan comes to him and tells him, "Prove to us that Allah is one." But because he was such a great alim, he gave one proof, shaitan broke it. Gave the second one, he broke it. Third one, he broke it. Like that, he carried on giving dalil after dalil, proof after proof. And shaitan kept on breaking one after the other. In the interim, because of that little while, that association for that mashayikh of the awliya Allah, he was in the company, Allah removed the veils, the curtains between this person and that alim that one of his deathbed. By then he had given 99 dalils. And 99 shaitan broke. And this alim said, "Isse usko keh do ke main khuda ko ek manta hu baghair dalil ke." Say it, "We may believe in one Allah without any proof. I don't need to give you any proof." And that was his last words and his soul departed. So this is the reality. No matter how much ilm you have, shaitan, you don't know when he can come and when he can take us away. Iblis himself was a great abid. He was a great alim. And he was a great arif also. He knew Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knew the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knew when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be how angry, but his quality of mercy never leaves him. That is why when he refused to make sajda and Allah expelled him from his court, immediately there and then he said, "Ya Rab, anzirni ila yawmi yub'athun." Imagine, there and there he makes dua. He's been accursed. And he says, "Oh Allah, give me life after the day of Qiyamah." He knew Allah can be how angry, but his mercies never leave him. And hoping in the mercy of Allah, he made the dua. "Anzirni ila yawmi yub'athun." Allah says, "Go, I've given you life after the day of Qiyamah. I grant you that life." Then after that, he said whatever he needed to say. So being a such a arif, the only thing ulama write that Iblis was not, he was not an ashik. He was not a lover. Had he had the ishq of Allah, he wouldn't have even questioned Allah. He should have fallen into sajda same day. So the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is everything that a person needs to strive for, a person needs to acquire, and a person needs to go out of his way to try and get that love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One very important point I want to bring before I end is, we understand very well that all the parts of our body work in unison. But they have their own faculties. They have their own ways of doing. The eyes see, they cannot hear. The ears hear, they cannot see. The tongue talks, it cannot hear and see. Likewise, the feet walk, they cannot hold. The hands hold, they cannot walk. But all these work in union, in communion, in harmony, as long as the ruh is in this body. The ruh is the central thing. As long as the ruh is in the body, it works. If the eyes are failing, and it needs to go to the doctor, the legs won't say, no, that's your business, you carry on, I'm not going to take you. No. The legs will take that eye to the doctor. But that is as long as this ruh is in this body. Likewise, in a family, you find a father, you find a mother, daughter, son. They all have their positions. The mother never tries to become the daughter, or the daughter never tries to take the position of the mother. And as long as this is guided by the principles of Islam and Deen and Sharia, they all fulfill their obligations. The day this ruh goes out of the body, now the hands are on their own, the feet are on their own, the eyes are on their own. Nobody is there for nobody. Everybody is on their own. Nobody can fulfill the object of the other or the need of the other. In the very same way, Deen is the ruh in our lives. Everything that is in conformity to Deen, to Sharia, to Sunnah, it will move well. The day this Deen is taken out, then it is like the dead body, where one will not conform to the other. That is why so many times you ask, why is there so much dissension? Why is there so much disunity? The disunity is not because people want to be disunited. No. The disunity is because true deen has left. True deen has left. Had true deen remained, had sunnah remained, had sharia remained, there was no need for any difference. But the moment true deen goes out, the sharia goes out, the sunnah goes out, ahadith goes out, Quran goes out, and we mind to make our own interpretations of deen, that is when everything becomes what it becomes. And that is where we are today, unfortunately. For us to become that one body that works in unison, that one ummah that works in unison, everybody has to come on deen, on sharia and on sunnah. Once that happens, inshallah everything will start moving well. And those that point out to us that this is not deen, they're not trying to break the ummah, they are the saviors of the ummah. It is their ihsan on the ummah. They are trying to keep the ummah together, that this is what you need to do. Don't go otherwise. Otherwise you're going to fall as an ummah. So respected brothers and friends, for these few words said, may Allah give us the realization, may Allah give us understanding, and may Allah give me first of all the tawfiq to make amal on whatever was said. And may Allah be a guide and give us this true love, the love through which we can become close to Him. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.